Welcome to Crooked Stories Theater, where each week we bring you strange and quirky tales, stories with a small twist, an odd setting, a unique character. It could be a drama, a light horror, a sitcom, really any kind of story, as long as it's just a bit crooked. Hello, I'm Paul Knauer, founder of Crooked Stories Theater. A couple of quick programming notes before we begin today's episode. First, we invite you to stick around for a post-credit scene, a cap on today's finale. And with Devil's Due Season 1 wrapping, we'd like to remind you that new stories are in production and coming soon. We'll have a few more details for you at the end of today's episode. As always, we encourage you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform, and if you like what you hear, please spread the word or rate the program, leave a review, or drop us a comment. Today, we bring you the season finale of our 8-part supernatural Western drama, Devil's Due.
Previously on Devil's Due.
He ruined my mom's life. If it wasn't for him, she might be alive now.
You saw her dead?
He helped me bury her.
Well then, what say we visit that grave you dug?
Hold there. I will shoot you. I can do it. I want to do it.
I'm sorry, brother. I tried to do the right thing.
Son of a...
Mom?
God Almighty.
And now we present the season finale of Devil's Due, Season 1, Episode 8, Lest Ye Be Saved.
Him. He did this.
Him? What are you talking about?
The preacher.
Nathan stared at the broken ground before him. It had already begun to grow back over. But the mounds, the hole in the center of the grave, he knew what it all meant. Not that he completely understood it.
He was in the road and came out of nowhere. And then the snake and he changed, like morphed into the preacher and... Oh, and he killed the pastor in the church, right? I mean, it wasn't you, and it sure wasn't me, but now he must have... Do you think he's using her? Like using her against you? I mean, that's exactly what he did to me.
You?
He gave me the gun, and he told me where you were, and I was just so angry.
But not as angry as your mother.
Hang on, you're saying...
She made a deal.
We both did. A deal with the devil.
Hola, gentlemen.
The men spun around. They'd been so focused on the grave, they'd lost track of what was behind them. Now they found themselves staring down the quickly advancing bounty hunter. Walt grabbed Nathan and dove into the barn, Solomon closely behind them.
I'm running out of patience.
The boy's innocent.
Nobody's innocent. Not completely. Not that I care. The devil always gets his due.
Walt cocked his head at the statement.
We'll come out for the sheriff. Suggest you go on and get him.
Our dance nears its end, Walter.
Walt?
Nathan's eyes grew wide. Walt spun around. From every corner of the barn, snakes advanced. Hundreds of them slithered and hissed, spilling towards the men like oil tipped from a giant barrel. The men backed away. The advancing threat forcing them closer to what was fast becoming their only exit.
We have to go. Now.
Nathan bolted first, and the bounty hunter promptly cuffed him. Walt and Solomon quickly followed, their thoughts immediately focused on the shotgun pointed at them. The bounty hunter proceeded to march them all down the hill back toward the woods. Walt was just beginning to formulate a plan when the bounty hunter stopped them at the wagon. He pushed Nathan out front, called out toward the woods.
The meek shall inherit, Rachel.
Walt saw his opening. He charged the bounty hunter, pushing him backward with all his force, straight on to the metal rock. The bounty hunter gasped for breath as he fought to free himself, until, slowly, the preacher revealed himself. For Solomon, it was the first he'd seen of the supernatural. For Nathan, it was a culmination. His mind fused around a new thought. The preacher was having fun.
The circle completes. Are you gonna shoot me too, Walter? Like you did your brother? Take care of her, my daughter. Rachel's a sweet girl. Tell her I'm going to see her mama.
I'll be waiting for her.
He pulled himself off the metal rock, an agonizing effort. Once removed, his wounds quickly healed over. Again, he faced the woods.
Last chance, Rachel.
Rachel hid behind a tree, watching it all unfold. She raised the rifle, sighted on Walt. It had to be done. She wanted it to be done. With a deep breath, she put her finger on the trigger, ready to squeeze, until Nathan stepped in front of Walt, confronting the preacher.
You have no power here. You're not God.
Nathan turned to Solomon.
Did Walt kill him? Did he kill Grandpa?
It was the wagon. It speared your grandfather. He was already dying.
It was mercy.
Irrelevant. He took his life.
It was mercy.
Rachel struggled to understand what she was hearing. Nathan turned toward her, called out.
He's just a man, fighting to do the right thing. The best way he knows how. He never killed anyone. Not like that. Not like you think.
You're pure, Walt? Is that what you think? There's no darkness in your heart?
The preacher turned to Solomon.
The truth will out. Best from you.
Oh, what's he talking about?
I don't know, Walt.
Oh, so be it.
The preacher locked eyes with Walt. He wanted his words to hit him hard.
It wasn't an accident, Walt.
Don't listen to him.
Your friend here saw an opportunity that day that scarred you so.
Solomon tugged at the reins, fought to keep the horses steady, as Nigel and Walt alternated between pushing and shoveling. The rain had been steady through the night. Between the soft ground and the hill, moving this load the final 100 feet to the barn was proving to be impossible.
Easy. Easy now. Keep them pulling, Solomon.
Now, best put the brake on. Let's dig it out a little bit. It'd be good to give the horses a rest anyway.
Walt waited for Solomon to respond. His friend had been distracted all day, but this was a time for detail. Moments like this could be dangerous.
Hey, Solomon, come on, the brake!
Ah, sorry.
Solomon yanked the brake on and climbed from the bench. He'd hoped to be done by now. He needed a drink, or four. It had been another long night of arguing with his wife. One more night lost to a list of his failings. Poor provider, unreliable. Worst of all, he would never, could never, give her a child. In her eyes, he was barely a man.
I'll grab a rock and chalk the wheel.
Walt turned away. He didn't see what Solomon saw. Young Rachel bounding down the hill. Nigel crossing behind the wagon. He couldn't have seen Solomon's thoughts coalesce. He definitely didn't feel the presence, whatever it was, whoever it was, that spooked the horses, forced them to buck and kick at just the wrong moment. And, until now, he didn't know what his friend had done, that Solomon had intentionally released the brake.
It was all part of his plan.
Shut up.
For the girl.
Shut up.
He needed a child, and your brother had one to give.
Shut up. Shut up. Shut up.
Walt reeled at the thought. He had fought for years to get that picture out of his head. His brother suspended on that metal rod, flailing like one of those puppets he had seen at the traveling shows.
Please, Walt. He's lying. You can't trust a word out of his mouth.
The poker game. It was his idea, wasn't it, Walt? It was never yours.
Walt could see it now. The planning, the manipulation. Of all people, he wondered, how could he have not seen it?
He preyed on your weakness. Took What was yours? Your peace? Your sense of who you are? All of this, the years of pain, feeling like you failed, it was him. He did it to you.
It was too much.
You bastard!
Walt grabbed the shotgun from the preacher's hand, swung it toward Solomon. Solomon dropped to the ground.
No! What did you do?
The preacher's rage wasn't directed at Walt, rather toward the woods. Walt spun, his mind racing. He hadn't pulled the trigger. It had to have been. Rachel kept her sights on Solomon. She had hit him square in the chest, but she wanted to be sure. She was the first to see the gun as Solomon drew on Walt. Her shot rang true, finishing Solomon. But then, so did her stepfather's. Walt dropped to his knees.
No, Walt!
The preacher pivoted to Walt.
I'm not done with you.
You won't get me.
We'll see.
Why are you targeting me?
You stole from me.
My money? At the saloon?
That day by the lake, you invited me in. You had the gun. All you had to do was pull the trigger. Your pain would have all been gone. None of this would have been necessary.
I didn't kill myself.
Your soul was mine. It was your hour.
But it wasn't.
It appears she's forgiven you.
The preacher turned toward the forest and called out to Rachel.
You have a debt I will collect. As you could be useful, I will refrain for now. In time.
He turned back to Walt.
As for you.
The preacher waved his hand over Walt's wound. The wounded skin rippled, slowly closed. Walt steadied himself, rose to his feet.
We can't have you dying now. Not with your soul in question.
And with that, the preacher disappeared. Walt and Nathan stood in stunned silence. Rachel stepped to the edge of the woods. Walt watched as she waved, meek as it was. He waved back. What else was he to do? She blew a kiss to Nathan and turned for the woods, quickly disappearing from view. Nathan moved to follow, but Walt put a hand on his shoulder.
Better go.
What'll we do?
You are gonna work this land, if that's what you want. It was your grandfather's and left it to me. Now I'm giving it to you.
You'll work it with me?
No one will believe what happened here, nor at the church. So I'm going to give them a story they can believe.
No, you can't take the blame.
I done your mother wrong.
But you did the best you could.
A man can't hide from his failings. I'll take my punishment.
I'll visit you.
Still got that ring?
Nathan pulled it from his pocket and held it out.
Not for me, for that couple. Before you do anything here, you get them that ring.
I still don't understand why it's so important to you.
Listen, at the end of the day, all we've got in this world is family. We lose those connections, we lose everything.
I'll find them.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Due Season 1 finale, Lest You Be Saved. We invite you to stay tuned for a post-credits scene. It's been our collective pleasure to bring you Devil's Due Season 1. We truly hope you enjoyed it. Now, introducing the Devil's Due cast and crew. Paul Knauer, executive producer, writer, and director.
Justin Cook, executive audio producer, sound design, and composer.
Steve Parker, I'm the storyteller.
Jason Burroughs, the voice of Walt.
Chris Head, the preacher.
Olivia Swad, Rachel.
Jack Parker, Nathan.
Jared Griffiths, Solomon.
Matt Candelario,
Marvin.
And the bounty hunter,
Harry Dyer, as Dirk and the young pastor.
Ralph Duke, Nigel and James.
Drew Hudson, stagecoach driver, hotel manager, and atmospherics.
Faith Beeman, woman getting robbed, and young Rachel.
Thank you for listening to Devil's Due Season 1. Before we bring you our final scene, a quick peek at what's coming soon from Crooked Stories Theater. Now in production, our very first standalone narrated short, Papers, a silly standalone comedy bit titled Alien Press Conference, directed by Gary Howell, and our next series, a four-part quirky dramedy called Bad Fish. We don't have a trailer yet, but how about a few random pieces? Oh yeah, we're experimenting a bit. We promise you'll have a reaction. We just can't promise what that reaction will be. Bad Fish, coming soon to Crooked Stories Theater.
Jail hadn't been so bad, Walt thought. Regular meals, a place to sleep, no worry about identifying the easiest mark in the room. Well, maybe not that last one.
James. Hey, James!
Oh,
rise and shine. Grub's here.
Yeah?
My deal. Ante up.
Walt grabbed a deck of cards and set a biscuit off to the side, as did his neighbor, James. Walt examined his cards. This had long ago become his favorite part of the day.
Two spoonfuls of peas.
I'll raise you a bite of ham.
I'll take two cards.
One for me.
Walt watched closely as James looked at his new cards. He waited until, ever so subtly, James' left nostril flared. Walt shook his head. They'd been playing every day for almost a year, and James never disappointed.
Ham. All of it.
Ham was James' favorite. It was part of what made them good neighbors. Walt hated ham. Walt looked over his hand. He had nothing. His play for a straight hadn't hit.
I'll match and call.
James giddily splayed his cards across the ground. A pair of eights.
I'll take that. Thank you very much.
He reached through the bars and snatched Walt's hand.
Eat up, James. I hear we're having beef stew for dinner. And you know how much I love beef stew.
Walt sat back and smiled. Could he handle another 19 years of this? He thought so. His mind drifted to Nathan and Rachel. The young man was a regular visitor. It had taken loads of hard work, but the farm was finally up and running. He even told of sightings of his mother, standing in the woods, a gentle wave. It was a pleasant journey, this train of thoughts, but it was interrupted by the opening of the cell door. Walt looked up to a new visitor. One he hadn't seen since, well, since then.
Hello, Walter. I have missed you.
Can't say I've felt the same.
Another dance, perhaps?